Our first scripture is from the Hebrew Bible, the very familiar 23rd Psalm, which may be found on page 476 in most of the Pew Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Our gospel this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Just a note, we're still in Eastertide celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, but this is kind of going back in time to before the crucifixion. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the religious authorities gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you may have noticed we are continuing with our sheep theme from last week, where Jesus asked Peter to feed his sheep. But you know, sheep get kind of a bad rap in our culture. Or phrases like the black sheep or, "Oh, y'all are just a bunch of sheep. You just follow blindly wherever." The scriptures, though, have a different take on what it means to be a sheep. It's a little ironic, the two scriptures we had this morning both talking about God as Father and as He on Mother's Day. So I just want to take a moment to note there are plenty of scriptures that describe God also as a mother. My two favorite are God as a mother nursing a child at the breast, and our confirmand's favorite, God as an angry mother bear who will shred to pieces anyone who threatens her cubs. Today, though, we have the beloved 23rd Psalm as our first reading, and everyone is so familiar with this. Raise your hand if you learned this scripture, you had to memorize it growing up in Sunday school. Yeah, I think many of us have had that experience. And so many people choose it at funerals. And that's not a mistake or by chance. It's because this beautiful poem communicates just how completely we are cared for by a God who acts as our shepherd. And as we talked about with our young people that this morning, that includes making sure that we have all that we need, protecting us in danger, not leaving us alone in the darkest parts of our lives, making sure that we rest, sometimes can be hard to do, right? And making sure that a table overflows for us, that we have abundantly more than we need so that we may share God's gracious love with others. That is a pretty good model, I think, for what it looks like to be a sheep, to just be so cared for that you almost don't even have to worry about it. If we could only embrace that, right? Our gospel passage has a few more things to say about sheep and what it means to be one of God's sheep. As we talked about in Bible study this week, it starts out a little disingenuous. It sounds like Jesus is sort of saying, if you're on the outside, if you don't belong to my flock, well, too bad for you. But Jesus knew that the religious authorities were trying to trick him. They're trying to trick him into admitting that he is God, which was a blasphemous offense. And indeed, you'll see in the next paragraph after the one we read today that they have picked up rocks and are ready to stone him to death for the words that he has said. So Jesus says that the people who are not willing to be open to his message of generosity and compassion and justice, that they are not part of his followers, but the ones who are, the ones who do choose to listen, are cared for with that complete care of a good shepherd. Jesus uses the words, I know my sheep, and the word in Greek is gnosis. It doesn't just mean I can list a catalog of who's in my flock, it means I can tell you the name of every single sheep, and I can tell you their personality, and I can tell you all about their life history. Just as we described with our young people, this kind of knowing is intimate and makes us feel loved, that God is not just some cosmic entity far away, but that God knows us very personally. You might think this is a bit of a romanticization of what it's like to actually work with livestock, with sheep, especially in the days of factory farms where I guarantee you people who are raising thousands of chickens to lay the eggs that we eat don't know every single chicken's name, right? But those who are doing farming on a smaller scale do still know their animals intimately. We went to visit my in-laws yesterday in New Hampshire, and their neighbors have a flock of chickens. And the wife, Rochelle, was talking to the chickens and pointing them out to me. And I have to tell you, all those chickens looked exactly the same to me. They were all sort of an orangey-brown color, and they were all bopping their heads and pecking the seeds. And I had no idea which one was which. But she said, well, this one's Cinnamon and Sugar, and this one's Victoria, and this one is Amelia Egghart. And all she had to do was kind of crane her neck and make sure she had her eye on the kind of distinguishing characteristic of whatever chicken it was, and she knew which one it was. Similarly, I worked at an organization in Atlanta that had about 5 acres of property that was just overgrown with ivy and other weeds, and so they hired a company that loans out a flock of sheep to organizations and personal residences to come and weed out and eat up all of the excess. So this flock of sheep was at the church where I was working for about 5 weeks. And the shepherd said, oh, some of the ewes are with lamb, and they're going to have their lambs in the next few weeks, probably while they're here. And if they have their lambs while they're on your property, you get to name them. And at first I thought, okay, this is kind of a cute gimmick. These sheep, again, all look similar to me. How is the shepherd really going to know which one's Allison and which one's Joe and which one's Molly? But the shepherd said, no, I know exactly which one of my sheep are which. Maybe one of them has a strange-looking ear or a different coloration, or maybe one of them is the bossy one or the lazy one. He knew every single one of the sheep in his flock. And that is the way that we are known by the Good Shepherd. Not just as another body, not just as another human on this planet full of billions of people, but as a beloved individual with quirks and with gifts and with foibles. We are cherished by that Good Shepherd. The other thing that Jesus says about these sheep that caught my eye is that the sheep that are open to him, who listen to his voice and whom he knows, they follow him in response to being known and loved. Now, I don't know about you, but again, that idea of following blindly like a sheep immediately kind of stuck in my head as I saw this. I thought, oh, that doesn't sound like a very pleasant thing to be invited into or to be compared to. I don't think that the tradition that's in the wider church or the ancient church of obedience, of following God sort of without question, has had as much hold in traditions like ours, for the reason that people don't really like being told what to do, right? And sometimes we chafe at that idea of following blindly or obeying no matter what. Well, if that's you, I have good news for you, because the Greek word here is about taking a road or a path. It's about going on a journey. It's about following in the way of Jesus, not just saying yes blindly to whatever is put before us. And you know what? Sheep don't follow blindly anyway. If you've ever watched a flock of sheep as someone, a person or a dog, tries to herd them, you know that they are taking every opportunity to go off in their own direction. Robert Moore recently wrote a book called On Trails, where he spent some time with Harry and Bessie Begay, who are some of the last Navajo shepherds who herd sheep on foot. This is the only place in the United States where sheep are still herded on foot. And guess what? The shepherds do not walk down a path with the sheep tamely following behind them. They actually herd the sheep from behind the flock, trying to get them to sort of cajole them into going where the water is or where their feeding grounds are. He describes it like this: the relationship between a shepherd and a flock is not as clear-cut as it looks. The shepherd is not the master of the flock. Instead, the flock and the shepherd are engaged in a continuous negotiation, in turns pushing against one another and pulling together, harmonious one moment and fractious the next. Some shepherds claim to be able to control their sheep with words or whistles, which may be true, but the only signaling mechanism that the Begay's sheep noticed while he was caring for them temporarily was a language of space. If I moved too close to them, they would inch away. In this way, I was able to shape their movements, but only vaguely, like a cloud of smoke. The essence of herding is not domination, he writes, but dance. Not domination, but dance. So following the Good Shepherd is not about an edict. It's not about obeying orders. It's about saying yes to an invitation to dance and to see where that path, that journey, might lead us. If you're like me, you won't always want to follow, even if it's invitation to dance. Sometimes I would rather cross my arms and stand on the edge of the dance floor saying, "No, thank you, God, that does not look like a good idea." Or, "I'm too scared to do that." Or, "Are you out of your mind?" But the more that we are open to this idea of it not being about blind following, but about being in harmony with a good shepherd who wants nothing but the very best for us, who wants us to thrive, that sounds a little more appealing. Like, I might be able to step out onto the dance floor with a little less trepidation. Because what Jesus says that he gives to these sheep who follow is eternal life. You've probably heard me say before that eternal life does not mean a life without end, a chronological eternity, but that it's a type of life. In the Greek, it's aeonian, of the age. It's classic. It's timeless. It's a life that is good for the ages and will never run dry or leave you stranded. So in response to our entering that dance, Jesus gives us a life that is filled with good things. With joy, with generosity, with peace in the face of anxiety, with abundance even in the face of persecution. It's that table laid out, it's that cup overflowing. And do you notice what Jesus finally says about his sheep? That no one can snatch them out of his hands. Once we have that love of our Creator, which, as we said in our prayers, starts from even before we are born, no one can take that away from us. It is ours always. That is what it means to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd. Amen.